Real quick synopsis again. This is quick meter, double time. Here's that rainy day. Same thing with long meter. Now switch to ballad, cut time. It's hard to imagine that that ballad is really just the same thing without the double time bass.
What was that passing chord into the...
Into C minor, half step dominant, D flat 13.
Oh yeah.
Because it sets up more of a minor sound a little bit. If I do this, I expect major more because of the B naturals, I guess.
Yeah.
I expect the C major and the E natural, of course. Like this.
Right.
Whereas we've already given the minor third away.
You want to hear sharp fives, flat nines, and
there
real
you go.
Minor
those
sound.
Things sure help.
Sharp nine.
They're not mandatory, but they help. Or you can go the other way and say, I just want the surprise of minor. Some guys like that. They'll hit a distinctly major dominant and then give you the minor chord for chromaticism. That's
the right resolution, good. Though,
for a G13
chord into minor?
Into minor? Dark minor or soft minor? Into C minor 7 as a 2 chord?
Uh-huh.
Probably be one. These have to come down.
Yeah.
So why turn them if they have to? They can come up.
Yeah. Where's this E going to want to go? Down to an E flat or to the...
Yeah, what it really wants to do is none of that.
I love
it
this
can
one.
Do this. That's
yeah.
great.
Yeah, I like that one. It took me a while to get the fingering. This fingering for 7th chord, first inversion 7th chord, is still giving me trouble. Like, we're getting off the track a little bit. Like on Green Dolphin Street.
Right. You're doing fine with it.
It's coming around, but I realize I should probably, until I get it right when I'm on the bandstand, like maybe...
Oh, this isn't a problem. You did this fine.
Yeah, I can get that happening, but when I go from this... I don't have it quick yet. I have to think about it.
Well, that's hard.
That's a tough one.
I could miss it if I don't concentrate.
That third finger has to really make a stretch across.
It's the second finger. I'll hit the wrong string with the second finger myself.
Yeah. Well, one or the other gets in there.
One or the other, yeah. You know what, if these are solid, that team thing, those are solid, then the other guys can join in.
Is that a good way to work on something like that?
I think so, is to isolate what you discern to be the trouble area,
yeah.
One or two fingers, and then team them up,
yeah.
And then pretty soon you say, well, this answer,
yeah. Like a line like on it from...
What are we in now? Oh, the key
just
that.
An A7 thing up to the inversion. I'm trying to get... It's like Don't Get Around Much Anymore or something like that. There's a tune that's got that.
There's a drum.
Emily Remler uses that. I saw her video. She does a cool line on a B-flat blues. You know. Anyway, rainy day. We got that. I got that. We need to work on
blues. So, so rainy day, you said... You guys are happier with the tempo aspects last time, but what is it about?
Double time for solos felt good. Right. That was fun.
But yet you chose this one. I said, what's a tune you'd like to...
I was just looking down my list. That was one that I felt like had lots of possibilities for you know, chord ideas, moves through different chords. You know.
So I'll be the bass player. There's no singer, right? It's just a trio?
Okay.
Let's back you up and see what you're doing, and then I'll help you out if I send some weak areas too. Let's see. Let me get a good facility for double time. These are our half notes for the cut time. 3, 4, here we go. Okay, let's do it already, okay? This is a pretty song, so we want to make it reasonably lush.
You meant
beautiful.
Too quick on that melody.
No, it's not that, it's that we just want to get some lush chords in there. You don't have to have a chord on every melody note, just a few more. Let's say we started out and did this. Some kind of B flat 13 or 9, I should say.
What is that in the bass?
This is the fifth, it'll go along with the bass player's strong
oh, okay.
root.
Yeah.
It sound a little
oh, that's right.
F minor 7 for a moment, because it'll sound like B flat 11.
Yeah, a Let's see, F minor 7, B1.
Flat 3, 5. There it is.
Oh, yeah.
Tough B flat 13. It's easy from here compared to where it's normally going to be coming from, but if it's too hard, we'll try a different one. I want to see if this is really radically hard for me.
No, I think. F minor triad on. No.
It's just B flat 13 is what the ear hears, you know. We don't.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I play that.
Oh, good. Okay. So, here's the deal.
Let me get back to where we're.
Let's do this, Kevin. The song's long. We're not going to even retrace it because you don't have to master it while you're here.
Okay.
Unless you want me to say fret locations, like you said, that was hard on the
Sometimes
last day.
Sometimes that helps.
Okay, I'm going to do that then. We started out on the second fret with G add 9.
Got that.
We went to B flat 9 as Kevin would normally would play, except we put 5 in the bass. Then we moved up to a close harmony, F minor 7 from the root down. When I arpeggiate like that, I know you'll be able to
get
it, right?
Yeah, that's cool.
Then the next one is a chord to work on, a chord to take up to the chillier air.
Yeah.
It's that George Van Epps slanting first finger device that he calls the fifth finger. Slant bar is another way to define it. These two. Right, then we have a 13 and a 9 in our flats. In the meantime, before it becomes an instant friend, because it'll probably take a little while, you can play either this on the middle four strings. It's a real tubey sound to it.
Oh, yeah. I play a seventh chord with the root on top. You're playing.
Not quite. There it is. Yeah, that's one.
You're putting the third in there, and I usually that omits the third.
That's cool.
Okay.
Now we're gonna go to this chord. I want to give you a hard finger. We'll make it easy. Middle four strings, barring.
See, we're on the E flat chord.
Yeah, we're on the E. Natural now, approaching E flat. We just want before the E and right before the E flat. So
okay.
Using, barring the 11th fret. Right, they're more lush chords, but this will do the job. A couple of ways it likes to resolve. This is E9, okay?
E9 chord.
Likes to resolve to major 13 on E flat.
Yeah, sure.
Make it a major 9. Go back here and get the. Summit.
Oh, I see.
Third finger on the 5th string. Second finger on both of these. First finger and pinky.
Oh.
Do that last chord, then we wouldn't finger that E9 way up here because it's way too much. What we would do is kind of look into some E9s around here, like this one. Third finger on G sharp, way up the board. First finger, the 9th with the pinky.
First finger on the 9th.
Yeah, that's right, the pinky. And the second finger on the flat 7. Right.
Playing the third on the second string?
No. Nope, I got the third in the bass. If you want to add the second string, add the raised 11, add the crease the pinky down.
That's nice.
And then get that E flat chord.
I want on the second string, do I have another?
Yeah. Let's look at it in a way that you'll understand. I'll meet you halfway. I'll come down, you come up.
Oh, yeah.
playing with a bass player, I'd probably go play piano voices.
Oh, that's nice.
Let's go third finger way up the neck, fourth finger next to it, barring, second finger. It's E flat 13. It occupies the space where the E flat Mixolydian scale has three strings in a row that are equally distantly spaced.
Uh huh. Right.
That's where these notes are.
Okay. And so this is
E flat 13. We're just on the five of
the. I'm trying to see the form of the tune again.
The thing goes one, flat three.
From the
flat six, check it out now, a dominant flat six.
Yeah,
just for a moment to get to the flat two.
That's right. It's
just an
cycle.
Insert chord.
Yeah, okay. Right. All right.
Now the melody's chromatic, right, Kevin? It goes B.
Yeah.
So we stretch down a bit. Linger on it, but we don't. The tune's not written that way anyway. So this is our flat two chord. Pinky up the way up the board. Stretch second finger, and then it's A flat major 9 instead of A flat major 7 as well. Because if you did that, yeah, there you go.
Oh yeah, those. Sometimes we do.
Oh, you want to do those changes?
No, but we do.
And what are you doing when you do your melody and stuff? Because you're coming out. You're the melody guy.
Yeah.
You're the harmony.
Well,
and
I'm just holding that D.
So you're going to play the melody with those changes?
Yeah.
Okay,
play
them, please. Is that the way you'd like to go with the C?
I don't know. I have played it that way. I don't know that I'd like to go that way.
It's fair. I mean, whatever way you'd like to go. So we start three chord, middle four string, then a six chord, bass player get the root for you. It's a three note chord. Just a three note chord.
Oh.
Bass player's got the E for it.
A six dominant.
Yeah, six dominant. It's real common.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, tell them to go from B to E. You play. It's A minor 6. A minor 7.
Oh.
Double stop. D7, flat 9, sharp 11. I'll arpeggiate that slowly. Second finger on the 9th fret. Third finger on the 2nd string. Fourth finger on C, barring to get E flat and C above. Right, bass prop play. Right, those babies. So, we've got those chords on tape. This is where you have a multitude of decisions.
Yeah, the resolution.
That's a funny G chord. The bass prop playing G. It sound like G. Other options.
We want that B is.
That's real common.
Yeah, with this, the major seven. Those are nice voicings with the bass player.
I still might use this. The same one I used on A flat, I might use again on G.
Uh-huh.
It's so pretty, it shimmers so well.
Yeah, those are. See, this for G or B.
What you do is you make it easy on yourself and see the major seven. That's it. Just line it up this way.
Just so
it's a five note chord. We double the melody. It's a sax. It's section, arranger's tool, you take the melody and put it inside as well. After you're in love with this note, which you will end up being if you like as musical as I suspect you are, you'll love the natural nine after all in that degree. Then if you hunger ever for this note instead, if you really want that, then bring it in. But until that day arrives, just let the natural nine bathe around you for a while on that degree. Even in major keys too, meaning like if you're going more blues, I mean this note as opposed to a later desire, I think.
Yeah. If more in minor, your flat nines.
Just see on this degree, whether it's going towards C9, C minor 9, C major 9, this sound is a passing one. It will be a later desire, if it manifests at all, to have a flat nine on that degree. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't mean to be dogmatic. Darker, I just want to convey a little nuance.
It's a higher tension note than a natural nine.
In this setting, it is, yeah. On some degrees, it's an average. Like on 6, it's a less tense note on 6.
On the 6th chord?
We'll say on 3. 3 is really overt. Like if we go...
Oh, yeah.
Versus... That sounds more tense. The natural 9 glares.
Fridge, the 3rd.
It just has a thin...
Yeah.
I don't make the rules, nor do any of us. We just try to observe and be keenly attuned to it and see what we love, right?
Minor 2nd interval. It's tense.
Well, didn't that... Let's be honest. This is a minor second interval, but it's less tense on the 3rd degree of the key than is the natural nine, which has a glaringness for some reason. I hope not just because I'm saying so. It just seems to. You know?
Now I'm wondering because sometimes the tonality of the song, if it's prominent, seems to linger in the memory, so that would be a flat 5. The natural nine on the 3 chord is a sharp 4 or flat 5.
Understand that if it's all about tonality. So we have, as soon as we hit that, we hear, most of us hear an implied ba da 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 da, and if we like Lydian, we hear ba da 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 as an option. But we hear, say a tune like Georgia, you hear, you have to be in a certain mood. After you've gotten in that mood, you'll learn to like this tone too if it's buried beneath the melody. Like right there, it didn't bother me when I sang it, because it's hiding, but just on top, see, it's going to sound fine now because we've done it 4 times in a row and our ears adjusted, but the first time I hit it, we both gave a look to each other like, okay,
yeah,
we could tell.
Right. Well, my question to you was, is that because of the tonal center of the tune itself, just in G?
You know that I love logic, right? Mm-hmm. And I know that you do. I wish that it was all logical, because like it doesn't get explained well. I mean I can't explain it because it's not explainable from what I know so far about life and music. This G key shouldn't prefer this note to this note on the 2nd degree, yet many people will love that D sharp on A. I think you do, and I think I do. As much at least as the natural level. Why? It's not in the tonal center. Shouldn't by all rights be a preferable thing. This should be preferable. But it doesn't seem to be that way. This is a beautiful chord too, and it does work. But for a splash just on 2, it's hard to not like the sharp 11, which is not diatonic. And it's not a blue tone. We can't just say, well, it's because, man, every time you put any... We always like any chord with the blue tone on top is where Americans have heard it and love it. Some things just don't get explained yet, to my satisfaction. Mm-hmm.
I
don't know. Yeah, we hope. For me, I'm still trying. So we got to the bridge, and what are you going to do on
we need
that?
To get into a C minor chord, and we were doing this D flat.
Yes. What do you normally do on that? Cool. So these work. Now, every time you do these voices, what's happening is not anything wrong per se.
Doubled.
You're doubling an octave bass, so it's just shortchanging the idea of at least a fourth note in the harmony. You could go for. If you still want to hear the bass when you're at home, you can make it a five-way chord. Again, a doubled melody tone inside.
Octave.
Right. You still keep the same top part that you have, but we double the melody inside. If you want color in there, you don't have to double the melody. You can play. Again, you don't need this note. Bass part will have it for you, so you can just play that if you're in the mood. You can play a fourthy sounding thing. Right? Those kind of things work. You can even go the 11 this note. Mid range is a workable note if you're not too bassy in your tone on this note. If this doesn't shimmer with lots of bass, then it won't clash much with the C. This amp has no bottom end practice. It's the deluxe. So we don't hear a big clash when we hit that. But you got to be in the right mood for that.
Yeah.
Whichever chord you choose, you might just choose a basic little one and live with the fact there's nothing that's that grabbable and easy that's going to knock your socks off there. But you might be aware that the next chord being F7 can be, instead of just going to the F9, which sounds pretty, I might add, I like that. I don't necessarily say you shouldn't be doing that.
Easy choice.
You might get into it via the piano voicing version of a Bach type thing of going. It's like going.
Not with you.
Okay. The bass progression is going to turn C minor into C7, because C7 creates more tension even towards F7. So this is just a voicing of C7. Fifth string from the tape. The tape's doing fine, it's rolling?
Yeah, it's fine.
Cool. Flat 7, raise 9, sharp 5, and sharp 9 again. Let's hear all five notes, please. That's it, right. So it's like, this flat third becomes a raised 9.
Right.
Okay, Steve, when the gate opens, can you stand a little closer to that hole, please? Thank you. When the gate opens, you're going to walk straight back, okay? And when you're just a few feet from the end, you'll see my apartment number 9 up a few little stairs. No, it's really on the first floor, just a few little stairs.
Okay, how about this? We've got this.
Now you've put an A flat instead of an A natural instead of a B flat. We're thinking C7, so we need the guts. We need C7. That's right. Then we put raise 9, raise 5, double the melody.
And what did I have? I had
A flat or A natural instead of B flat.
Oh yeah. Okay.
That's good. That was that time when you hit it really came to life. Excuse me, one second.
Alrighty.
Nice to meet you.
Steve.
Follow me this way, Steve.
So we're substituting.
No, we're not substituting. What we're doing is we're adding, there are three things you can do mainly in jazz. You can extend the basic harmonies by adding tension, you know, nines and 11. You can add chords, and then the third is the least common, which is to kick out what's there and substitute. Substitute means replace.
Right.
We're adding some. In between C minor and F7, okay. We're adding C7.
Okay, wedging it in there.
Wedging. Good word. I like it. We're wedging.
Yeah.
So. Then I'm going to go to either a wild F7, or I might hit a tame F7 first if I haven't put this note in the bass prior. If I put it there for the C minor, I won't use that.
You get an F7 by having that.
Right.
So if anything else is just going to color it.
Let's go F9 like this. Now, normally it goes chromatic. Now, right there we can get stuff.
Oh, yeah. Piano.
Yeah, thank you.
Just while we're on this, are there any books that you've run across, or is any sections of your books that deal with piano voicings like this? Every time I hear that, I go, that's it. But when we sit down with it, I get maybe one or two chords for the month to work on. I'd like to dig into some kind of a book.
I wrote this book, Modern Chord Progressions. I think you bought it, right?
I have it, yeah.
There are chapters in there where, or page after page, where it's all piano voicing. Same progression.
Is it described as such? Because there's so many of those little diagrams that I've gone through many.
You got the book with you?
Not with me, no.
Okay. Take an hour sometime and start on about page... Start in the progressions of all those 3-6-2-5s near the back half of the book. Mm-hmm. When you see the stuff that looks like straight finger on the bottom three or slightly askew on the lower note,
right.
You're in the piano territory.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And when you see those five-way kind of close harmony looking ones, you're in the other kind of piano territory.
Okay.
As opposed to seeing, your eyes will say, hey, I know that's straight guitar voice.
Yeah.
You'll spot it right away. Say, there's one of those pages.
Yeah. Okay.
Also look for 3 or 7 in the bass. In these kind of, what looks like an E major shape down here, up the neck, say it's key of A flat, 3-6-2-5. And then I start. There'll be pages of that stuff too where it'll start to look like you go, that can't be a 3 chord, what's going on here?
Uh-huh.
Then you'll see the name, you go, C minor, I gotta try it. Or whatever key it's in, you know?
7th in the bass.
Yeah, 7 in the bass. There's the missing root at the moment.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, anyway,
You'll be able to get those.
Okay. I keep with those things, all of them.
Right, so this is F. We're back on, after we went... Now we're back
to... Okay, now the third chord, we got...
F9, we decided on. We're doubling the bass player, but we occasionally do it, right? I like the contrary motion of that, so I don't mind. I'll double when the lines make it worthwhile, right? Even if I'm doubling his low because of the contrary line.
So
here was our C7.
Yeah.
And this is our F is gonna happen.
And then we just do this?
Yeah, just a 9.
Right.
Now we're gonna get a little right on those notes, we're gonna go
into
easy territory. It goes like this. F again, C again, same chord but without as many notes. Same
one,
chord.
1, 2, 4.
Yeah, 1, 2, 2, 4.
Right.
We're still on the middle string. I shouldn't say still, but we are on the middle string. Then we lower the bottom three notes chromatically and raise the top note chromatically, and you'll have the F chord. Right, that's our F.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's great.
So it's like taking...
Easy contrapuntal move.
Exactly. So what we've done is we've taken C minor 7, F7, we're about to hit the B-flat. Mm-hmm. What we've done is we've got C minor, C7, F7, back to C7, back to F7. We just keep using the C's.
Mm-hmm.
This is B-flat. Kind of a stretch one, but it's not hard to stretch. Exactly. Real pretty sound on the bottom four with the top string only added as first finger on the 10th fret.
First finger.
On the 10th.
Oh, third in the bass, okay.
Yeah. Pinky on the root, natural bar, and top string. Right. It's just a great chord as an add 9. You can add the major 7 sometimes, but I try to keep it clear and just play 5 notes a lot.
Okay.
And it does this. where you can go to this territory above the bass player. You get real fat chords that way. F minor 7, 5 in the bass. Great, good memory, good instant response. E9, 5 in the bass. E flat major 7, 5 in the bass. Right. When you're playing by yourself, use the double stops to make the real roots happen. He'll have them below you if you tell him. If you even write on this chart that you're going to do under those melody notes, F, E, E flat, he could learn to catch them with you.
Yeah.
You
know,
since it's an established group of guys.
That's one of the things that I'm becoming aware of, is the communication necessary to smooth all those spots out.
So you get the sound. Go ahead.
So I got, and then the next chord was a...
E9, 5 in the bass. Right, make them nice and clear. Right.
Okay,
make those fifths, your lowest note come out real well, please. Spread chords, real far apart. It sounds when you have 1-5 in a row. Okay, then the tune goes. I make it dominant on E flat. This is going to A minor now. Any A minor, same things we talked about before on those others. You can have the 11. Nice time now would be to get a raised 5 line to go. Because we get to use this chord, it's kind of contemporary, you know? As well as about fat. I mean, it's togas and stuff too, way back, you know, but it's togas and it's rap, not rap, but people with spiked hair as well. I mean, it's both centuries, I guess. The line is our ear wants to hear this so much, that note next, that even if it changes strings, it'll follow it. Although this note is so loud sometimes, you gotta watch out. Maybe you'll play it like this, so that 5 is so loud too. You might play, put the doubled 7 in there. Again, the line has changed strings and come down at the same time, but we want that, so we'll follow that. This is pretty strong, that move. I don't know if we should be doing that. No, that's why I switched over to that. Then when it goes, bingo. Pianistically, maybe. A minor 9, middle strings. D7 altered. The melody is... D7 altered, good. Full arpeggiator. So there's no laundry at home. Then the flat 9. We change our third finger to the bottom end now. Good. 3, flat 7, flat 9. Major 3rd. Yeah, little simple chord.
Oh, okay.
Then that major 9, the chord of the evening. The same one. Do we have it? Thank you.
Yeah.
Right. Or do this bit. Dominant turnaround, jazzy kind of. D9, three little dinky notes, anywhere you want to voice them, down a half step, and split the melody into two. It's an old counterpoint trick, right. So now we have that. Yeah, that's right. Oh, careful now. This was D, this is D flat. All the notes coming down except the melody.
C7.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And B, but we're ready to add the 13 in. We don't get a lot of chance to hide the 13 on 3, but we're going to do it here. Voicing from the top down. Third finger, fourth finger, first finger bar, medium bar, second finger, and first finger. That's it. That's B now. I'd be 13. This is E13.
Oh yeah. Okay.
A13 sharp. Yeah, these arpeggiations, you'll be able to get it.
Yeah, that helps a lot.
This one from the bottom up. I'm going to give you the fingering in a different order because it makes it easier. 2, 3, 4, 1, and 1 again by slant. Uh-huh. That's it.
And now this is in
D3rd, function? Yeah, D. You'll see at home it's a D chord.
Okay.
We've just gone B, E, A, D. 3,
okay.
6, 2, 5,
oh,
all
okay.
in dominance.
Yeah.
And I got in chromatically. I went boo, rum, rum. Simple, right?
Mm-hmm.
The concept's usually
not
simple.
Concept, yeah.
What we've done is we've added passing chords, and we've we finally did a substitution. Instead of G, we said, let's play a three chord. Instead of doing minor, which is almost the same as the one anyway, when you play B minor 7, it's like 1 major 9, but B 7's really kind of different.
Uh-huh.
But
that's on the last turnaround.
I want to say this right.
Where
this is the first turnaround, actually.
This is the first. Where are we hearing a G minor? Or?
It's in the middle after the bridge. How's that? In other words, we've come out of. Now it's about to go home again, right?
Okay. Sometimes in the path to get there, I forget the form of the tune.
So then it starts over, you do the stuff again until. Then a 2-5 into C would be appropriate, possibly.
Right.
It's going to go C major now.
Right. And I always go.
Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to get some sax section sounding stuff. You can finger it any way you like. What I do in these situations, I'll hit three notes, and then I either hit three again, like above, meaning the top part of the prior chord now become the lower part of the new part of the chord. What am I trying to say? If we take a four-note chord and divide it into two groups of three, as in these three and these three, adjacent strings, then the top part of the lowest one can become the lowest part of the top one.
The top part of the lowest one.
With these two notes. This D minor 7 type can become the lower part of the top one. That's right.
Uh-huh.
Right, so sometimes I'm doing that. Sometimes I only hit two notes on the second one, like.
Okay, slower.
Just a half step motion. I'm holding it with double stop, but you can hold it that way. It's fine. Good. And either two or three notes. Yeah, sure.
Okay.
This is that minor 9 chord you responded well to. D minor still. Going before the C. We're just doing a little 2-5.
Okay.
Okay, this is another trick of guitar. It's not a big trick. It's just a way to not have to move so much. After we play our D minor 9, which is easy to see, by the way. Here's how I want you to remember this, so you can go out of it here tonight and remember this forever. Ready?
Yeah.
Take D minor 7 in your mind. Put your first finger on the third and second strings only.
Uh-huh.
Skip three pieces of wood. See, these are just pieces of wood.
Right.
And then put on the third and fourth fingers. Right. That's how you see the shape. Don't try to anchor the third and fourth fingers to some high D up here. Just see them three frets, three wood pieces in between, okay?
Okay. And it's
every day, like, take a different fret and really see it. You know, like, say it's G minor. You see this as your anchor, your first finger.
Mm-hmm.
Skip three pieces of wood. You add those two fingers.
And it's in D minor, it's 7th and 9th.
Yeah, flat 7 and 9, below flat 3 and 5.
So
anyway, so we take the score. I wish I had more time, that's why I'm speaking.
Yeah, I know.
Now sometimes instead of going and jumping, I'll play the same chord, just hit three lower notes, or even just one note. I'm not against that if that's what gets the job done. Once the riff's underway, those details are less crucial than the shape of the melody and the impetus that's created by it. It doesn't matter that I hit one note there. It doesn't kill the riff. That's an altered G. We've used it tonight a little earlier. This is a chord I see as the shape of it's like taking a major chord on B flat and telling a child, for instance, about flamenco music and saying, look how this one can even be flamenco. You know, you take the major chord and raise those bottom notes, you get the flat two sound. So that's how it looks. There's a visual thing to remember. Mm-hmm. As far as anchoring it, the first two fingers are what we do because it replaces our standby chord, our old friend. Right, the top fingers of this chord become the top fingers of this chord. Comprende?
Hipper sound, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Function again.
We've gone
turn around to C minor.
We're about to hit C major.
C major, rather.
So we've gone D minor, G7, and we're still in G7 because the phrase isn't done.
Okay, and that was this.
That's G because it's this.
Okay, and now we're coming to what?
Still G7. We're going D.
Yeah, I got that part. Now what's the chord?
Middle strings.
And it's a G7 type chord.
Yes. How about this? That's it. We have our C. Now there's a whole nother long section that happens here beginning on this melody note. Your assignment is to work on what we've done so far and see if you can voice this next section a little hipper and then
with
I'll...
Those, yeah, ideas.
From... Because there's a lot of room in there too, right?
Yeah.
There's still a whole long part in others of the song to go. Have you heard Wes do this song? He does a Latin,
got
real
it.
Long meter on that Bumpin' album.
Yeah, I want to work on that. I got to work on some other Wes, too.